we're going to end up going to jail, Wes?
No, we're not. Help me get him out of the car.
Then what?
We wrap him up in this. Then we find somewhere to dump him.
Yeah, because that worked so well for us last night.
Shut up and do what you're told.
Hey! Okay! Oh, come on, be careful.
Why? He can't feel anything. He's dead.
He's alive. Now what are we going to do?
We are Si and Sophie. This is Coastal News, a Home and Away podcast, your weekly episode companion podcast for your favourite Aussie soap.
Numbers. Listen, what do these mean to you? You ready?
Okay, hang on. Yeah.
2.
14. 214, yeah.
336.
What?
And 20,160.
Those are the most random numbers I've ever heard in my life. are they related to each other?
They're about to be the most important numbers of the day.
Oh.
Yeah, no.
I haven't got a clue.
This week's been way too taxing for this.
I thought you were going to say, because when he started with 2, I was like, oh, is it 2 weeks till our live?
Oh.
Is it 2 weeks?
2 weeks.
2 weeks to Manchester.
Manchester, yeah. Our live.
Is that what the 2 stands for? Or have I got that wrong?
Yes.
Oh, it is?
Yes.
Okay, what's the next number? I've forgotten already.
15.
I don't know. I can't think of anything for that.
Okay, I'll help you out. 14 days till our live.
No! it's all related to the live.
Yes.
Okay. What was the next
336
number?
Hours until Coastal News Live in Manchester.
Oh my god, have we got to the seconds and minutes?
20,160 minutes, counting every single one of them.
What are you like? Oh dear. Milliseconds? No? Yeah. I've got milliseconds, no.
Oh, because 20,000 didn't sound right. I thought, surely it's less than 20,000 minutes in a fortnight. Anyway.
Like a lot. It's a lot.
Counting them. How are you? Two weeks is not long to go. How are you?
It's not long. I'm getting a bit nervous. So yeah, I'm kind of a bit nervous. It'll be fine.
When I opened the post today, the stress levels went up, yeah. but that's, you know, people don't need to know what planning mishaps are going on behind the scenes. There we go.
Yeah. We'll tell you after the event.
You're good. Home and Away this week.
I know. It's been like I've just loved it. You know this. You know I love a horror. And what I love more than a horror is like a comedy mishap horror. You know, like where you end up in a situation that you didn't plan on ending up in. You know, like the bungling kind of enemies or the bungling villains of a story that they end up being the villain but they didn't ever set out to be, and then it all escalates and it's just horrifying, and you actually feel for both sides of the fence.
It's been so good. I loved those two. They was unassuming murderers.
Yes.
And then like one was good cop, one was bad cop, and
Wes and Mickey? I think they were called Wes and Mickey.
I was calling Wes and the Mad One. Yeah, Wes and Mickey. Yeah.
Yes. No, I've enjoyed it. Like there's a couple of horror films that are like that. There's like Tucker and Dale versus Evil, which is like a black comedy horror, which is one of my favourite films. And they're like hapless. They end up murdering a bunch of people, but you feel sorry for them while they're doing it because they're like, why is this happening? Like, I don't really understand. Like, they kill one and then another one turns up and they end up killing that one and they're like, why is this happening to us?
I must check that out because that sounds right up my alley.
It's so funny.
This, I was just watching this like with my jaw open, like these guys can't be. I was like, stay tuned for the podcast, guys, to hear our reaction on this. It's going to be a good
so
one.
Funny.
Really, really good. It's what was the Oz season finale. This was so good. Right, yeah, what a week.
It was.
We've already been applauding the show in the last few weeks, us two, haven't we? Really into it. This week, way up the notch. Great locations, a great filming as well, which is always nice on the eye, isn't it? We're so fortunate we get that. We must mention as well, we talked last week about the coffee cup thing the winner.
Yeah.
And thank you so much to our friends over at the Talk of the Street podcast, Gavin Helen, who donated, made a donation to us on the Buy Me a Coffee link, which was so nice. So thank you.
Oh, that's lovely.
Yeah, we didn't expect that. It's going straight into the fund. Can't guarantee we're going to spend it on coffee.
Might be another beverage. Yes.
it'll come in handy. Thank you so much for supporting. We love those guys.
Yeah.
We love the podcast as well. So although we're not very happy that Auction Talk's been rested.
Mm-mm-mm. Auction Talk. I do love that. It's one of my favourite segments, I'll be honest. And the little intro music. It makes my day. Yeah.
Sure that comes back.
Yes. Soon,
please. Right. Do you want your headlines? Let's get on with this insane week.
I do. Yeah, I'm ready.
The Mac Pack couldn't be any more tense as they wait for Mac to have her operation. Eden stumbles upon a murder during a midnight visit to the Kazi and subsequently goes missing. Bree U-turns on her decision to travel overseas. Alf is trying to put out flames as the committee resigns in protest of John's reinstatement. And Remy's dead. Oh, wait, no. False alarm.
Please take the time to like, subscribe, and review Coastal News wherever you source your podcasts and ensure you never miss an episode.
Okay, you remember Max got in for that op. She took a turn for the worse on her recovery tail end of last week, and it was all and in excess for their waiting and filming a music video in the waiting room. and it was all getting very, very tense, wasn't it? Levi having a go at everybody saying it's your fault. Why didn't Xander know she was taking the meds? Anyway, everyone was blaming everybody. It's finding Levi very unprofessional, even still, I must say. And that's making me sus about him. We've spoken about our suspicions about there being more to that whole thing, didn't we, last week? But it turns out the operation went well. Marley's stressing everybody out even more, though, whilst they waited for that news, Googling it, you know, Googling second heart attacks could be fatal, getting all the stats out, and everyone's like, shut up, Marley.
You're drunk, bro. Yeah.
And after she's come round from the surgery, she's asking, what on earth's going on? What happened?
I know. The
thing she sees is a blur.
She looked very much brighter this time around. Did you notice this? Because I was like, you know, when she came around from the surgery last time, she looked really pale, really vulnerable, really scared, as you would do because she just had a heart attack. Yeah. But this time around, it was like she looked really quite fresh. And I thought,
must have done the Arthur, that surgeon. Arthur job, we'll call Levi.
Very strange, because I thought she looked very alert and very, you know, she was sat up in bed and she didn't look poorly the second time round. I was like, is she okay now? Is that what we're supposed to take from this? That she's, I don't know, I'm confused.
It's worked.
Yeah.
I don't know. I think the jury's out on the old anxiety thing, isn't it? Because we've not really been back since.
But the heart thing seems to be better. She seems to look better.
She did. I agree, actually. Yeah, the makeup was better, wasn't it? Yeah. She had a bit more colour to her face. Now, he explains to her, you've had this blood clot and da-da-da-da, and she's disappointed in Xander, and she's pleaded, don't blame Xander. You know, I'm my own person with my own mind. And you're thinking, yeah, But he's still, he's got, what's his agenda? So am I looking for something that isn't there? Is that the end of that? I'm thinking, why is he hung up on Xander? Is it just me that thinks he's a bit too...
No, I don't think it's just you. I don't know why either, because I think if he was really upset about it, the fact that she went home, he would have given her more of a hard time. I know she's had a heart attack, so he probably doesn't want to push it with her. Mm. But you'd be angry with both of them, not just blaming it all on Xander. And he said something like, once they found out he used to be a paramedic, it made it even worse. And I thought, no. Like, I don't know. Maybe we are overanalyzing it. And because we want to see what Eden sees, we want to believe that there's something else going on with him, because
that's true.
Her grudge list doesn't really make sense, does it, at the moment?
You're right. We're trying to piece together and find reason, aren't we, as to why she's responding the way she is, probably. You're probably right. I was thinking, though, she's just come out of this life-saving operation, and you know, it's a bit like, you know, when the duckling imprints on someone.
Yes.
She sees Levi. I was thinking, oh, here we go.
Yeah, it's the whole Florence Nightingale effect thing, isn't it?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Mm, so that's one to watch, I think.
Because I think I don't think it's just Mac. I think he's feeling, I don't think he'd be sat by her bedside as much if she was, you know, a middle-aged man. Somebody that was less attractive, less funny, less, you know, interesting, engaging.
Yeah, you're right. Wouldn't be watching game shows on his laptop with Quasimodo, would he?
No, I don't think. Though he doesn't seem to be there for any other reason at this point, you know, in the hospital, because he's only there for Mac, isn't he? Because when she was discharged, before she came back in again, he was saying, you know, she's gone now, I've got no reason to stay. So she's the only reason he's there. So it makes sense for him to always be hanging around like a bad smell in the lift, because he's got nothing else to do. But I still feel like the attention from him is more than just she's his patient.
I think so as well. I think so. One to watch, because I think he's going to pursue her. I really do. And I think she's going to be all, it's a knight in shining armour. You know,
he saved her life. I mean, I think that would make you feel a certain way. You'd feel a certain emotion towards someone, I think, that you knew. If you met someone that saved your life, I know Xander technically did as well, because he got her to hospital in the first place, but Levi's done that surgery on her a couple of times now.
Yeah.
And I think that would make you feel a certain way. And I don't think it's necessarily a bad thing that he's a good-looking, relatively charming doctor as well. Mm-hmm. It's only going to add to the feeling.
Definitely helps. Yeah.
He saved my life.
Yeah. Yeah. No. Dishy doc. Yeah. Absolutely. Right. Cash and Flick, speaking of Dishy, they've signed that lease, and she's happy about it, and she's put her first smile on her face for ages. Thank God. I was jumping for joy at this. I thought, oh my God, is this Flick coming around a corner? You know what I mean? I was thinking, oh, I talked about you. I was thinking, oh my God, she might actually have calmed down, you know, from this split. And she's in the best mood ever. She's literally skipping around the bay, isn't she? Soon changes, though. She hears about Mac back in hospital, because she's the last to hear. and news normally travels fast. But I'm glad that her worry isn't about Tane for once, and it's about something else in her life, you know, somebody else important, because I think that distraction away from all that mess is what she needs, and we need it desperately when it comes to her anyway. So she hears about that, she rushes to the hospital, Tane's there, and I'm just like bracing for impact, but it all seems quite good. Bit of an excuse for a slow-mo hug, but we're all here for that. That's okay, as long as it stays like that at the moment. And Levi, although I don't know if you've seen on social media, the audience are quite split on whether slow-mo hugs are good for them too or not.
Yeah, I have mixed feelings, I'll be honest. I have very... Oh no, I think I tweeted something on Monday about, I hope this is not just about trying to get close to Tane.
Yeah, and actually, you're right. Because you never know with her whether she's playing. This is the thing with her, isn't it?
I can't trust her. I'm sorry. I know that Tane's done bad things. I'm not saying it's all on Flick. I think they're both as bad as each other. But I don't trust her.
No, same. I'm completely with you on that one. I'm on your train. I'm on your train. Levi comes out of the surgery, obviously very cold with Xander. We've spoken about that just before. But now all the gang agree to go for a relief drink afterwards, don't they? Because Mac's awake. She's out of the surgery. So they go for this drink. And Tani didn't go, though. And this is where I was thinking, is Felicity using this as an option, you know, as a way in, you know, you know, crowbarring a way back into Tani's life? Because Tani's talking to her again now, but he is keeping his distance. And he doesn't go with the rest of the Mac Pack back to Salt for this drink to celebrate, really, you know, the relief that Mac's going to be okay. And she takes it upon herself to quickly go up to the house to find out where he is. And he's made some excuse, hasn't he, that he's going to put some clothes together for Mackenzie or something. Well, it's not an excuse. He's actually supposed to be doing that. But he's not got very far when he gets there. He keeps looking at the wedding ring and you're thinking, oh, God, you can hear it. You can hear all the viewers' eyes rolling. And they have this sort of conversation, don't they? And it's... Surely you felt the hug at the hospital. Surely you felt it. There's still something between us. Mm. And he says, I do still love you, but it doesn't mean we can be together. Mm. I'm not trying to hurt you, but I'm sorry. And these two are just such good actors. Honestly, the chemistry, and this is why we feel so much for them. We get frustrated with them. We're into them. We're not into them. The reason we all get like we are with them is because they do this so good. And it, all over her face, this she makes him leave the room so she can sort of silently cry and try and keep it in, you know, all this sort of rom-com stuff, you know, that when are they going to make it back together? What do you think this is the early signs of the long road back?
I honestly can't call it at the moment. I honestly don't know. It could go either way. Because last week I was convinced that they were lining Harper up for him. Yeah. And this week I'm not so sure that that's happening. I mean, Harper's been quite clear with Flick on, you know, when she did her apology tour, I'm not after your husband. And he's now said, I do love you. I do still love you. So I'm like, okay, I've ruled out Harper in my head now. And that now we know that he does still love her, but he's still angry. And this is the thing. I don't think he's dealing with his anger at what's happened and what she did. And I don't think she's realized that he's also in the wrong. So I don't know. I can't see unless they both see the bigger picture and actually talk about it. I don't know how they're going to get past it. And then if they can't get past it,
it's all still unresolved. Yeah.
How are they going to get back together? Because I don't feel like I don't think they're addressing what happened, really.
Well, ultimately as well, what they want out of life hasn't changed.
No, exactly. And they haven't had that conversation. Yeah. I don't see it. But it's soap planned. So I'm like, it probably is going to happen. I can't personally see it right now.
Yeah. Okay. Let's put a pin in that and see what happens.
What do you think? Are you thinking similar?
I don't know. I think we're at the juncture that we're at, it could go either way. Mm. And knowing the soap trait, I'm thinking we're going to end up on the long road back.
Yeah.
You know, like, this is us getting into lane for that.
But who's going to back down? That's what I can't understand. Who's going to back? If they get back together, is Tani going to say again, okay, I don't have to have children? Or was she going to say, I'm changing my mind? I can't see either of them changing their mind.
I think Tani, well, he's a right doormat when it comes to her.
He is a doormat, but he also wants his own way, and he'll carry on trying to get it. He'll say one thing and then try and do something else. And that's why I'm feeling a bit shady about him lately. I don't know.
Confusing. You're right to feel shady about him because he's out of character. This whole thing is a nightmare, hasn't it? We've been saying it over and over. What a mess. All this is going on. Back at drinks, Eden's sort of whinging about Levi because everyone's praising hero Levi, giving him a cake and all that. And she's like, he's such a knob. He's my brother and he's a knob. Cash is being absolutely starling again here. Look, what you're on, what is the, go and speak to him, basically talked him into going speaking to him. So she goes to the hospital, but overhears him telling Mac how important family is, and you know, when times get tough, they're in the trenches with you. And she's like, no, he's still a knob, see ya. And so she doesn't bother, and that could have been that was the near miss, wasn't it, of them reconciling this and maybe us finding out, you know, actually why is she so miffed with him, because I still don't trust that it's just about mum and dad's divorce when they were kids. So this makes her think, I just need to get out of town. You remember Cash said he was going to go away for a bit and see Gary last week, but then changed his mind. So now Eden's like, do you know what, let's do it. And she has to twist his arm a bit on it. He's sort of the other way. He's, oh, I can't leave Flick. Now she's, even though she was happy, or you know, yesterday, I can't leave Flick now because, you know. And you know, but ultimately he decides to go for it, and they end up going camping. I mean, she only finds out when they get there. I mean, where did she think she was going? Because it is the middle of nowhere, absolutely gorgeous,
but so gorgeous. But oh my god, snakes and spiders, that's all I could think the whole time.
Yeah, same, because it's Australia.
I know. I was like, if that was here, I'd be perfectly happy camping there. But it's in bloody Australia, and you don't even know what's in your tent. I'm sorry.
Well, clearly. My tent
is Cash. I don't want anything with more than two legs, really, in there. It'd be gross.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah. No ticks, please, at least.
Oh, God, no. Yeah.
I tell you what, though, Cash chopping wood.
Oh, Cash chop. Do you know what I love more than dirty Cash? Camping Cash.
Yeah, you love camping Cash more than dirty Cash.
I do.
Even with his old boots on.
Yes, I'm into it. Chopping wood, tent Cash. I'm into tent Cash.
In his tracky bottoms and Ugg boots. Oh yes. My god, Cash.
Yes.
You can tell he wasn't planning on spending his weekend with the SES wearing an outfit like that, let me tell you.
I'm into it. He could take them off if you really hate them, but I was into camping Cash. My new favorite Cash. We've unlocked a new Cash. This is new character, camping Cash.
Level up.
I'm into it.
It looked great, but I tell you what, nature smells weird, and that'll be the wombat poo. That's something you don't have to worry about in the
so much that we don't have. This would you go camping in Australia? I don't think I'd generally go camping here, and I have gone camping here, and I would go camping here, but I just don't think I'd survive a night in the bush in Australia. Would you?
I wouldn't even entertain it. I'm sorry.
I just don't. I'd be checking that tent plans, every 5 minutes.
Any conversation of plans to go to Australia, we've literally like been planning which month is less spider.
I can't go in spider month. This is not happening. Because you won't see me for dust if there's a spider.
I'd be looking down over the plane thinking how many spiders are down there.
Oh, don't. I can't. And when we say spiders, I don't mean the ones that we get here. I mean the ones they get there. I mean, they are like the size of a cat, some of them.
Yeah, everything can kill you, right?
Oh, yeah.
Kill you. Now, She's struggling to warm up to this camping trip, isn't she? She's a city gal. She's not really into this nature stuff and wombat poo and whatnot. But Cash chopping wood, sort of, she gives it a go. And because, you know, it's his chemistry, you see, this chemistry lesson he gives her.
Yes.
Wood creates fire. Fire heats food and food makes energy. And you know what we need that for? Tent sex.
Oh, I love a man that talks about science. It's my thing. It's my thing. It's a weird thing, but I'm into it. I love the whole of Cash's personality this week, though. Like, you know, when she was fed up, she was genuinely fed up and thinking, I want to go home. And then he opened up and told her why they were there. And that whole story about, you know, when I was a kid and things were really rough and Gary knew that I needed to get, you know, out of my head and escape for a bit. And you know, we came here, I've got these lovely memories of being with Gary, being here, being happy. This is my happy place from when I was a child.
Yeah.
And I just wanted to bring you there because I want to share my happy place and my happy memories with you. And I just thought, even if I was hating that camping trip, at that point I would have made an effort, because I'd have been like, okay, fair enough. I'm going to pull my socks up now and I'm going to try and enjoy it, because this is important.
This is more to him. Yeah, exactly. Yeah. I'm a bit let down a bit by Eden at this with this, for the exact reason you're saying, really, that clearly him opening up like that, this is something he really needs.
Yes. You know, and it means
something. Yeah. And when you're in a relationship, you do things for the other partner that you don't.
You do. And this is another thing that's confusing about Eden. I don't know whether you feel the same way, but I feel like she's not the same Eden that she was when she came in. She's way more selfish and way more self-centered and not thinking about her. And as you said, you would do this for your partner, wouldn't you?
Absolutely. You would. You would. If your partner liked camping, you'd endure it for a night, wouldn't you? Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
I mean, and what makes matters worse is she wakes up the next morning with this tick on her neck. Now, they were actually in good spirits because, they'd got a bit of action, you know.
Tent cash,
tent poles erect, And they got a bit of action. She was a bit scared, wasn't she? She wakes up the next morning in a really good mood, got laid, but there's this tick on her neck. And he's like, don't panic, I'll get it out. And he's really great with her, gets it out, laughing it off. And she's flipped back then. She's like, oh, hate this, hate that. And I found this quite jarring. And I don't know if it's because it was like one episode and then the next episode. I can't even remember how that even happened now, to be fair. And it was only the other day. But like, she sort of agrees to get on board and says, yes, I'll embrace nature, she says. She literally said, that's a direct quote. Let's embrace nature. Let's go for a bushwalk and look for a lovely walk.
This was before the walk. Yeah.
And then next thing, I don't know if it was the way I was watching it or something. The next thing, she's like straight on the phone to Remy, like, come and pick me up. This is awful. I need a hotel. And I'm thinking, wind your neck in, woman. And to make it worse, the poor fella is saying this on the phone.
I know. And can we just, the elephant in the room as well is the fact that she's got no money and she wants him to pay for them to stay in a fancy hotel. I'm sorry.
Oh, yeah.
This doesn't sit right with me, again, with Eden's personality. Mm. It doesn't feel like Eden from when she first came in to the show. It's just, this whole thing is just really... really odd. And like you say, I don't know why she is. I mean, obviously we know why at the end of the week. We understand why she's not making an effort, because we need to have that doubt about where she is and everything. But
yeah, it just came out of nowhere though, didn't it?
Whether it was
plotted too fast, maybe. It just sort of a massive U-turn, like, whoa, we were giving it a go a minute ago. Do you know what I mean? Like, and I know a tick's bad and annoying and painful and what have you, but you're on a romantic weekend with your boyfriend and you're asking your bezzy mate to come and pick you up, and then it was like, and it just didn't sit right with me, because then it's like, you stay here, like, he's brought you out for a romantic getaway and you're telling him to stay here on his own.
He's opened up to you and said that he needs a break because he's been dealing with all her crap. He's been dealing with all Flick's crap, and he's got his own crap going on because he's been suspended. He needs this break more than she does. You know, she was the one saying, let's get away. She's just running away from her brother. That's all she's running away from. She doesn't want to see him walking around town. That's the only reason she's running away. But he's actually got loads of stuff going on that he needs an actual escape from. He needs a holiday. He needs to clear his mind. Yeah. And he wants to spend... He was going to go and do that with Gary, because that's... You know, but he chose to take her instead and say, you know, this is what makes me happy and I just want to share it with you because you make me happy, you know. And then just go... Even if I hated it, I think I would have just gone along with it. Yeah. Because
I'd whinge about it, but I'd do it. You'd get through it, wouldn't you? It's not the end. It's not the worst thing you could do. I mean,
and
you could have gone
romantic. Like...
I know. It just, you could have won a holiday and ended up in a deserted factory, chained up, climbing up a bloody thing. You know what I mean? Thank God you chose cash.
Oh, thank God. Yeah.
Now, he does talk around to stay in. And she ends up sort of ringing Remy back, but he doesn't answer the phone. She rings him back to say, never mind, I'm staying and we're going to check into a hotel tomorrow. He's somehow manages to make her agree to one more night. I'd have told her to just let him pick you up. Don't ever speak to me again.
On your bike.
Yeah. Yeah, just somebody that I used to know.
Also, how is she going to get home with all of her stuff on his bike?
I know.
Because that car was packed to the roof.
Just Jenny it. I've just got visions of her on some highway with a deck chair and around like a camp chair folded up, trying to get a lift. But it's just too late. Remy's already left on his bike to come and get her.
Yeah.
And he doesn't get this message, so he's on his way. And she's oblivious to this, and she's thinking he'll pick the message up and not come and get her. So she gets on with the evening with Cash, doesn't she?
Mm.
Fire and yada, yada, yada. And unbeknownst to everybody, on his route to come and save her, Remy has encountered a pair of Galahs on this country road.
Mm. And
this was a real big stunt. Very, very well done.
Yeah.
They end up crashing into each other because they're distracted, pissing about behind the wheel over the radio, and they end up having a big crash. And he's sent flying, isn't he? We've put a clip on social media. And Remy is out cold. He's by the road. These guys are shook up and they're going over to his body and they're like, he's dead. He's not breathing. He's dead. Like, that's it. Remy is dead. And I'm thinking, what? What?
Yeah.
Instantly killed.
I wasn't believing it, I'll be honest, because, you know, with the Ozpace spoilers, I knew he wasn't dead, unfortunately. But
can you imagine if we were watching this with no spoilers, though?
I would have loved to watch it with no spoilers. This would have been so... I mean, it was brilliant anyway. I really enjoyed the episode. But knowing that actually he's fine, it kind of took a little bit away from it. It did.
We had to wait till the next day to find that out, though. Like, yes. I was thinking, what? What?
Yeah. I knew it wasn't true, though. So it did. I wasn't really in suspense. I was just like, oh, how are they going to get around this then? How are they going to bring him back?
So my initial gut reaction was, oh, yeah, right. You know, dead. Yeah, whatever. But then the next time we see these fellas, they're covering the bike up with leaves and twigs.
Yeah.
They're bundling him into the back of the body, and all I'm looking for rigor mortis. I'm like,
oh, I was just wincing. So I was like, I bet he's got a broken pelvis and rib cage. And
they're throwing him into the back of the car.
I literally winced every time they picked him up and shoved him into the car or shoved him onto the sofa. I was just like, oh, he's probably got like 100 broken bones. Like, oh.
His head's like cracking open, I guess.
I know. And there's all the internal bleeding and everything. I was thinking, oh, God, this is literally just, I was bracing myself going, ah, pain.
So he's in the back of this car. They're freaking out. So these two fellas, it's Wes and Mickey, did you say?
Mickey, I think so. Wes and Mickey.
I'm saying Wes and the mad one. Wes is like, he's definitely we don't know their relationship, do we? But he's taking charge.
Mm.
I don't even know if this is a chance accident. We know nothing yet. Like, this is, who are these people? He looks like he's a bit dodgy. He's done this before.
Mm.
We need to sort the body out and drive here after dark. And the younger one of the two, the marred one, he looks a bit more shook. He's shook up. He's struggling to breathe. He's like, what are we going to do? He's flapping a bit, isn't he? And he's definitely under control of the other one. I would say. Would you?
Are they brothers? Because I couldn't work out how they knew each other.
Yeah, I don't know what it is. I mean, that would make sense. And that's the usual trope, isn't it? Siblings.
Mm. Yeah.
So they then sort of go somewhere and they actually start sort of trying to dig a hole in the woods to, you know, hide Remy's body. And this happens to be very close to Eden, who has got up in the night out of the tent with her toilet roll, looking for a hole, going to dig a hole herself. So girl gotta go. And she stumbles upon one of them digging the grave and is like, what the hell? She turns round and it's Wes, the hard one, is like, oh, and he just knocks her out, doesn't he? Because she's seen too much.
Mm.
And it's as if this isn't mad enough that I'm like, I'm honestly on edge at this point, because I'm like, as if it's not mad enough, we've had this huge car crash, Remy's dead, they're going to bury him. And I'm like, and now Eden's involved and we've just knocked her out because she's, and I'm like, what the hell?
I know.
And then I'm like, no, they've put her in the back of the car with Remy.
I didn't realise that he was in the car at that point, because I thought, you know, because they were digging the hole. I didn't know what stage of digging the hole they were at, whether they would put him in it and they were filling it in, or whether they were digging it. It wasn't until she was in the back of the car, you know, with, you know, knocked out, and then she woke up, and then you saw her freaking out, didn't you? She's got tape over her mouth and she's got her hands all cable tied. And you see her going, like, even more freaked out, because then you realise that Remy's opposite her.
It's your mate, yeah.
And she's thinks he's a dead body or something. Oh, that would be awful.
Can you imagine coming to, tied up and gagged in the back of a car, and seeing me there, dead?
No, it's too scary. It's way too scary. I absolutely love this. I love these kind of horror, comedy. Well-meaning hillbillies that make a mistake and then it just escalates. Just brilliant.
Yeah, I'm loving it. And then I'm thinking, oh my God, what is going to happen next with these? You know what I mean? Like, what the hell?
Yeah.
We end up where we rejoin them is at some, I'm assuming some safe house or something. We don't even get that explained, but they're at a building, aren't they, somewhere?
I think it's their house. I think they live there.
And they're there. It's one of these scruffy houses, isn't it? It's not, you know. And they're talking about what they're going to do, basically. And they need to do something with Remy. Eden looks absolutely petrified, petrified to silence. So they go out to the car, and they're like, "We need to get the body out and wrap it in this tarp." You know, well, this is what Wes is saying anyway. The young one's like, following orders. And then as they pick him up, he just goes, and breathe.
Because they probably just broken another rib, launching him out of the back of the... Because the young guy, he goes, "Oh, be careful." And the other one goes, "What? He can't feel it. He's dead." And I, at this point, I'm wincing, because I'm like, they're just hauling him around and he's probably broken completely shattered on the inside. And then obviously he goes, "Ugh!" And I'm like, yeah, you've just hurt him, because you probably mangled him up and now you're moving him around and it's making me wince.
And then they drop him again, because of course it startles. I mean, I text you, I absolutely should. Honest to God. Because I was watching it with my earphones and I just, what was that noise?
I wonder what you meant, because you sent me a message going, "I've just like shit myself." And I was like, which bit?
Well, I did send you a "He is risen" gif.
I'd got it from that. Yeah, I got it from that. Oh, dear. What you like?
Just in time for Easter. Very festive. Very festive. Yeah. Remy's alive. So that now they're both like,
no way. Shock.
Now they're like, oh my God, what are we going to do? They bring him into the house, and then obviously Eden knows him, and Eden's like trying to comfort him, and she's pleading them, like, "You need to get him to the hospital, please, please save him. It's not too late, you've not killed him, like, it's not too late to save this," sort of thing. And she uses, when Wes is out of the way, she, you know, the marred one, she uses him as an in, she manages to get him to tire, and gets. Plays on his weakness, really, and gets him to turn on Wes. So they agree to go and dump him at the hospital, basically, in a nutshell. And so where we're at, Eden's still at the house, but she's not tied and gagged. And Remy's off being dumped at the hospital. And he is, like, they find him. He's it. And then obviously Bree's all in a panic, because her Remy's just been wheeled in. And Wes and the fella go back to the house, and now we're at this big cliffhanger. We've got to deal with Eden, and she's seen and heard him. She's seen what they look like. You know, she's in big trouble here now. And the SES are out with Cash. Eden and Tani have come up to help, and they're just looking around the same bit.
They just think that she's out there somewhere, don't they? That's the most heartbreaking thing. I think this is what got me this week, is when Cash realises that, you know, she's missing. I was like, imagine waking up in that tent. She's gone. and not having a clue where they are, when, how long they've been gone for. Oh, just, it's broken my heart, the idea of that this week.
It is. I was thinking as well, watching this search, thinking obviously Cash was a big part of the search. He was actually, you know, stopping it from having a rest at one point. But I was thinking, he had to divulge information that had a disagreement the night before. I'd be thinking, where's the... Oh, like, you know, got a partner here who's saying he woke up, the missus is missing, they'd had an argument the night before. I'd be thinking, this guy could have done something to her.
Yeah, I mean, that's an obvious conclusion, isn't it? Because he did have to admit that. And I don't think they even know. I mean, he didn't even tell them, by the way, I'm a cop, I'm an ex-copper, or...
I know, yeah.
He, and another thing is, I found a bit strange, is he didn't, the people he phoned, I thought, another reason why I felt so sorry for Cash in this moment, not just because he woke up and didn't have a clue where his girlfriend was, and obviously you'd just be terrified, wouldn't you? Because they kept saying she's got no bush skills, she's out here, she doesn't know what she's doing, she could have fallen over, she could have got bitten by a snake, she could have drowned, she could, you know, there's 100 things that could have happened to her, and you're thinking of every horrible scenario. Yeah. Because you're thinking he doesn't have a clue that she's not there.
Yeah.
And she's on someone's sofa somewhere. He doesn't know that. He thinks she's out there perishing or whatever. And it's just horrible. But then you're going through all of that, and then the only person you've got that you can phone is Flick. And I just thought, oh my God, like, you just, I'd rather just not phone anybody. Why didn't he phone Rose?
I know, yeah. Well, Rose does get involved in the end when
yeah, but only because she gets... Yeah, only because she finds out that Remy's been injured.
Yeah, yeah.
But not, he doesn't call Rose and say, missing persons. Can, I don't know. I don't know what she could have done, but...
Yeah, that's true, actually. You make a good point, because he, above anything, like, they're friends. Do you know what I mean?
He was a cop.
Like, and he knows he's a cop.
Yeah. I know he's got the experts helping him, because, you know, they're the terrain, you know, search and rescue experts. Yeah. Yeah. But I still think a phone call to Rose and saying, Eden's gone missing, is there anything you can do, you know?
Yeah, I agree. I
don't know. It just feels a bit strange.
It does. It does. But who cares? It was good.
Of all the people, though, of all the people, imagine if you've got a phone, you know, phone book full of people that you can call, and the only person that you can call really is Flick, your sister, who's a mess. I just wouldn't I wouldn't have relied on her to... phone. I was like, oh God, poor Cash, he's on his own. I wouldn't have called her. I mean, she did step up,
just
but...
not bugged her. Well, let's see, Eden's in trouble, Cash is frantically looking for her, can't wait for next week, I will say. Right, so you'll remember Bree was going to that counsellor as well. That was
just,
happening elsewhere in the bay this week, and they basically suggested her not to be so safe, and were like, yeah, let's be a bit fun. And you remember she was told to go and embrace the world, and she wonders if she's brave enough, and Remy's like, get on my motorbike. So this is before the accident, obviously, because, and he got killed and then unkilled and nearly buried alive and dumped by the road. And this was before all that happened, right?
Yes. She's never going to get on that bike again, though, is she?
Oh, that's true. She didn't want to get on it anyway. It's just like,
get on it. 100% safe with me, I promise. Yeah, nice one.
Oh, God, yeah, such a stiff. Well, statistically, you're going to die on a bike. Just get on it and have some fun.
I'd have got on it. Anyway, I would have been on it before he even asked me.
I would have been like, where's my chaps?
It's not a horse.
Right, listen.
Oh, dear.
Her idea of fun is not mine.
No, ditto.
So she decides to make a career change to the Doctors Without Borders. Ugh. News. Although I'm not taking anything out of that, you know, good on you.
On her, but the reasoning that she gave that she needed to shake her life up was that she'd done too much boring stuff in her 20s and she wanted to go and live a bit. And I think this sounds just as stressful as her day job, if not more stressful. I don't get it.
And then she expects Remy to leave the band for 12 months, as if.
When he can't leave them for 2 weeks normally. So.
Mm-hmm.
Makes sense.
And initially he's trying to be supportive and agrees, I'll come with you. And when he finds out it's a year, he's like, good luck. Yeah. He does backtrack quite quickly, but that makes him mind. So now we're going to end up with a big sort of, I'm changing. It's a bit like a Flick and Turner, I'm putting up with this and I wanted something else. And I don't know. This all just seems like it's just a device to split them up, in my opinion.
Yeah.
And I couldn't care less. I'm going to be honest.
I could care if she genuinely come up with something, because of the reason why she wanted to do something different, because she felt bored and she felt like she had lived. All she'd done was study and be a doctor. So then what she wants to do is go and be a doctor somewhere else. And I thought, no, that's not it. That's not the thing that's going to shake up your life. You need something else. If they could come up with that something else, it was a bit more interesting, and wasn't this just a vehicle to get them to split up? I might be into it, but at the moment I'm just like, this is boring because it's not shaking her life up.
So boring, yeah. It's so plain, isn't it? I tell you what, I'm more interested in the scat fundraiser.
Of course you are. Oh, gee. Of course.
That sounds really exciting.
How is that going ahead now? Now half the band's been either kidnapped or in hospital.
Dead, undead, dumped by the road, nearly buried alive. Yeah.
Yeah.
Don't know. Mm. We still don't know if Eden's coming back yet.
Yeah, that's what I mean. So she's kidnapped. He's in hospital.
Yeah. Eden might be with Pinky and Perky for a while.
Yeah, true.
No, do you? Don't know. Mm. I also been making all these strange blooming phone calls here, there and everywhere. Committee business. And you're like, Simon's causing trouble, isn't he? Elsewhere.
The snake.
John back in post, back on the Polaris, where he belongs.
Between
the flags.
charged it.
What was it? Oh, the flags are not decorative. That was it this week. And Rue has decided she's still going to muscle in. I can be an asset to the club with my skills. These skills, you've sat on and done nothing for however many years.
Decade, yeah.
Mm-hmm. We've said it before, though, she's good at organising. She used to be a planner, event planner. Of course she's good at these things. How's it taken this to happen for her to, for her to do something about it? But never mind. And John thinks she's muscling in on his job. He's like, I've just got my job back, and she's sniffing around and nepotism and all that stuff. And John's being John again this week, isn't he? Mm. And Nyrene's had a gutful of him, mouthing off about Rue. And he goes to speak to Alf, or should I say Rue does, to suggest what she's going to do about this, help, what help she can give to the club. And he's knee-deep in resignations. From our half the committee. So it turns out, because Rue's got a contact, of course she does, that Simon Henderson's been in everybody's ears whispering, and they've all just gone, yeah, we'll quit. Is this how these things run over there? Is this what
I don't know.
It's a bit corrupt to me, this.
It's a bit mad, isn't it?
The guy
it?
With the money's pulling all the strings. What the hell?
And also,
I'm supposed to be there because we're passionate about saving lives.
I know, that's the thing that doesn't make sense. So Alf saying he reinstated John for the good of the club, for the greater good. He's a good surf club manager. It's what's best for the club if he comes back. He is a good trainer. He had one bad day and we're crucifying him for it. And he's apologised. Mm. He knows he's done something wrong. He's not going to do it again. At some point, you just have to get over it and just accept the apology and move on. Why are the surf club committee members leaving? Do they not agree that long term it's best if John stays? Are they just thinking about the money for the surf club and thinking if Simon Henderson pulls out the sponsorship money, there's going to be no club anyway, so there's going to be no club for me to sit, no committee for me to sit on anyway?
Yeah. Yeah,
I don't know where we're going with this, and because they're faceless committee people, we don't really know what their reasoning is.
Yeah, and of course it doesn't sound reasonable to us because, like, hello, we can just get all the sponsors, and hello, as it happens, sniffing around, who's got She's got experience raising sponsors. But remember when she did that? There was that big summer fair or something, the market. Do you remember the market thing? And she had to get all the businesses involved. Do you remember that a few years?
Yeah. And she did the golf tournament thing.
She did the golf tournament.
She got loads of people to donate prizes for the...
So she's got relationships with all the local businesses. And it's no coincidence to me that she's sniffing around saying, I can offer my services when this is happening. So I think we're going to... I think it's a fire, a surefire thing that Simon's going to pull out his money.
Yeah.
Sorry, I made sure I finished that sentence. I think the club, because he's foreshadowed it. The club will cripple. It'll cripple the club if this happens. He's foreshadowed it, hasn't he? Mm. But I think it's going to happen, and I think Rue is going to end up saving the day here. I think she's going to go into Rue mode, try and please new sponsors, save our club, and I would love a story like that. Save our surf club. Get the Coastal News all over it. Don't want you.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, I think you've said that recently. That's one of your kind of wishes for the year, was something like a community event, you know, where everyone rallies around, and you know, we've got a cause and we need to all chip in. And
I think that's
one of your wishes, wasn't it?
It was. All my wishes come true, you know.
good. Okay, it's time for that time again. It's your Say on the Bay time. Are you ready, Si?
Yes, bring it.
Bring it on. Right, so I've been digging again, but unfortunately, we'll let you in on a little secret, listeners. Again, Si's got, you know, the social life that Sophie doesn't have, and we're having to record early again this week, aren't we?
I'm sorry.
Just stop being so, like, yeah, you... fleeting. And
do you want to know what I'm doing?
Go on.
This is our rock and roll, this, right? So I was babysitting two dogs. That was the initial plan.
That was it.
But
yeah.
now due to illness, rather than babysit two dogs so that dog owner can go to a gig, I'm going to the gig instead.
Oh, jammy.
Yeah. So I'm going to an OMD gig.
Oh, ace. Oh, see, we're actually going out. See, this is the thing. You're jet setting, you're doing stuff, and I'm sat at home going, oh, I could have done a pod today, but...
Going out. Yeah, I'm going to be the youngest one there. And I know like two songs by them. There we go.
Oh, it'll be good. Live music's good. Doesn't matter what it is. It's all good. Amazing. So we're recording early because you've got an out date. And I do not, but unfortunately it means that your Sound the Bay is going to be limited in terms of the topics that we can cover this week, because all the exciting stuff happened on Thursday and Friday this week, which we can't talk about, and we'll talk about it next week.
We'll shunt it for next week, and we'll just lap it up next week,
and it's spilling into next week anyway, because there's cliffhangers, as we said on the main pod. The stuff that's happening next week that's going to help us understand more of what's happened this week. So we'll put a pin in Remy and Eden for this week, and we'll come back to that next week. So this week, obviously, I've been digging through social media, reading your comments and reactions, and I've got a few things to read out to Si, some choice comments. We are on the social media as well. We are Coastal News Podcast, or at Coastal News Pod on Facebook, Instagram, YouTube, Threads, Twitter, etc. We tweet along with the show at 6:30 p.m. Monday to Friday, 5-star in the UK. So come along, join in on the hashtag discussion. Let us know your thoughts. So the first topic of conversation I have for you tonight, Si, is, are you ready?
Mm-hmm.
It's not Blooming Casualty.
What?
Now, I went over to Facebook and I had a little look at the Home and Away UK Facebook page, and there was a video of Mac or whether it was a preview of what's happening next week, but lots of people were commenting that it's not Casualty. Why are we in the hospital so much? So Louise on Facebook actually did say it's becoming more like Blooming Casualty. And then Elizabeth commented, please stop with the accidents and hospital stuff. It's getting more like emergency ward 10. Everybody on Home and Away has been in that bed, in that emergency room, and it's getting silly and boring.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. So I've got a few of these. So Felicity, not the Felicity, said, if I wanted to become a hospital visitor, I would volunteer locally. I'm fed up of this.
Well.
Interesting.
Well. Is it? You can vote with your remote, ladies.
No, well, you know, somebody did say that to her. I think it was Viv that went back to her and said, well, you can turn it off, doll. And she said, well, I do sometimes, but then I miss it. So I put it back on, you know. Well, you've only got yourself to blame then, haven't you?
Oh, yeah. You suck up a punishment, some people. I get it. We are in the hospital a lot. But to be fair, half the characters work there.
Exactly. If we weren't there, it'd be weird, wouldn't it? Because we've got now we've got Dana as well. Like we've only had Bree in recent months, haven't we? Because obviously Xander quit and went and got his bar job. But now we've got Dana and we've got this hospital set. We have to make use of it. It would be mad if we didn't, wouldn't it?
And people, we can be a bit short-sighted, can't we, as viewers? Like it feels there's a lot in the hospital at the moment. We've got the heart attack thing. You know, we've got this now. Like, of course, we're there a lot, and it feels like that's all we're watching. But nobody notices when it's not in the episodes, do they? Do you know what I mean? It isn't there every episode.
And it's good drama. I'm like, what? Yeah. This is the thing that I don't understand. So if I give you some context from someone else that commented. So Caroline, you're going to love this comment. So Caroline says, bring back the school.
Bloody hell.
We need more kiddos and not so many people ending up in the hospital. Now, if we've got kiddos, I think we'd still end up in the hospital. I don't think
probably
those two.
More so.
Yeah, I don't think those two are separate things. I don't think it's bring back the kiddos because then we would have no hospital. I think we'd end up still having hospital stuff.
Yeah, I think we'd have it more. Do you know what? I'm lucid and I'm going to kick off. Right.
Go on, I'm sitting back now.
I am sick to death of this. People are stuck in 1990, bloody five. Yeah. Right, it's 2005 next. The school is gone. Right, the show is different. Watch or don't watch. What year are we in? God's sake.
It's not 2005. It's not 1995. It's 2024. Yeah.
Either way, there's no fucking school. Get over it.
I know. I mean, this is something that you and I talk about a lot because obviously we do read the comments online. And you can't get away from these comments, can you, about the school? Bring back the school, bring back kids, bring back fostering. And you and I, we don't go with the grain on this one, do we? We don't actually agree with most of these comments.
You don't want to watch kids.
No, I mean, I've watched the classic eps that we've had, you know, when it was on Amazon and when we had the classic eps over Christmas on the MyFive app, where we had the young people, we had the school. It's a lot of hair pulling, you're a dag, you know, I can't relate to it as an older lady. I just can't relate to the school drama stuff.
No.
And actually, I get annoyed with the show when we get the adults. And can we just talk about how old these people are as well? Because I think Eden's supposed to be 22 based on the maths I've done. And Remy's supposed to be 29. And I don't even understand how they're friends and went to school together. So I'm really confused about that. But when you've got people that look in their 30s acting like teenagers in the show, it really gets on my nerves.
Yeah,
and I don't want teenagers acting like teenagers in the show because it just I don't want that storyline. I do want the drama. I do want the horror film thing that happened this week. I do want the hospital drama. I do want the romance and the camping and camping cash. I don't need the kiddos, I don't need the school, and I don't need fostering. I don't know how, I don't know. Obviously, everyone else is not going to agree with us on that one.
No, and you're entitled to it. I just think it's a bit of rose-tinted glasses. Those were days gone.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? I think you just need to move on now, you know. But if that's what you feel, that's how you feel, you're entitled to.
Yeah,
if you want to see it, you want to see it, don't you? But
There is a lot of people calling for it. So I feel like I'm in the minority by saying I don't want to see that. Because there are a lot of people saying that. But I think that would change Home and Away so much now. It would change the pace of it so much.
Yeah.
I wouldn't be as engaged, probably. I'm guessing, because obviously it's pie in the sky, you know, hypothetical. But The storylines that I enjoy are not the teenagey drama-ish storylines.
Same. Yeah. But this exact thing is because over in Korea they've got loads of kids, haven't they? And they say, you see online.
Yeah, not loads. There's a group. Yeah.
You see the same discussion about the young characters on there. You
but
know,
people don't like that. Yeah. So they've got this. They've got a couple of kids that live on Coronation Street, on the street, and then they've got the other kids because they have got a school set and they have got two teachers, a head teacher and another teacher that we know of. So they have got the set. So we do have other characters that are supposed to be in that friendship group, and there's a bullying storyline going on right now, and it is harrowing. It's actually quite horrible to watch, but really important to show. But people are hating it. So the majority of comments I'm seeing on social media, and I don't know whether it's an age thing, I don't know whether it's a different audience thing, I don't know, but people are saying it's not Blooming Grange Hill.
There we go.
It's not Blooming Casualty, and Corrie again, it's not Blooming Grange Hill. So I don't know whether it's the same audience, though. That's the thing. I don't know how many, because obviously I watch Coronation Street. We both watch EastEnders. We both watch Home and Away. How many other people cross over into different soaps? I don't know. And
I'm gonna, how much of the I mean, the demos are out there, aren't they, on the ratings? Yeah. He's got an older audience, you know. Yeah.
But then are the people on Facebook and Instagram calling for, and Twitter actually as well, calling for the school to come back, calling for fostering to come back, are they a different age to the people that are hating those storylines on Corrie, I think, maybe?
Let's not do that 2 weeks in a row. Let's not.
I don't know. I don't know, because you can't tell from one's profile picture of a horse. You know what I mean? It's difficult to say who's behind the account and why they don't, you know, why they don't relate to the story, or what story do they relate to? And I don't know. It's difficult to. You can't really compare the soaps anyway, but I don't think you can compare the audiences either, unfortunately. Okay, well, it's not Blooming Casualty, but we are enjoying it, I think, is our opinion on that, isn't it? Yeah, sorry, guys. Hopefully there'll be another storyline that you guys are into. It won't be long, I'm sure, until there's another one. What about Flick and Tane, then? So does anybody actually want them back together again? That is the question. And it is the question you posed on the Home and Away UK page this week, and you got a few answers, so I'm going to read them out to you. So you said, does anybody want them back together? And you've got one word answer from Kale on Facebook, and it's no. Just no. No other
thanks
comment.
For your contributions.
And then we've got Charlene, not from Neighbours. Charlene says, yes, I do. I love them together. We waited so long for them to get together, and then they break them up, like most couples on Home and Away and on Neighbours. There is a limit to what you can do with couples, though, isn't there, in terms of storylines?
Yeah, and it ends up being a bit revolving, doesn't it?
Yeah, it does end up being will they, won't they get together, and then will they, won't they break up. It does end up being like that.
It does, and it can be the same story, just different names, can't it?
Yeah,
that is a true observation, to be fair.
Dawny says, not a chance, she's a mess. They're blaming it all on Flick there.
Not this again.
There's a lot of this. Leanne says, put these two back together, please. They are love goals, and now I'm heartbroken watching this. Do not put him with the other one that's floating around. I think that means Harper.
Well, who else could it be?
I think that means Harper. Not sure. The floater. Gonna call her the floater from now on. Leanne says, I will absolutely stop watching if that happens. Strong opinion on Tani and Harper. Strong.
Literally turn the whole show off.
This
is what I mean. These two, I think it's the performance of Ethan and Jackie that has got people so invested in them.
Shipping
them and all that. Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, we did, didn't we? And that's why we, you know, I think that's why we feel so cheated by this story now that it's turned into poo. Because we were in the whirlwind with them last year, you know.
That's it.
Yeah, we were. Margaret is holding out hope. She said, holding out hope that things get better and they get back together. And Jeanette agrees. She said, I hope these two get back together again. Chris said, you've got to get these two back together. And Scott saying, I wish these two would get back together. But then Karen...
You call him. Oh, okay. Oh, get the manager. Yeah.
Get the manager. Karen's here. Karen says, with the lies that she's told, it's hard to go forward. Take one step at a time, Tane, if you do want it to work. So advice to Tane then, but not to Flick. I think a lot of people are still blaming her.
It's interesting. It just fascinates me when I hear women blaming her as well.
Yeah, I know. Yeah, it doesn't doesn't sit entirely comfortably with me either.
And it's because his character is better received.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
Well, that's the only thing I can put it down to, shall we say.
Yeah, he is less Marmite. She's a very Marmite character. She can be very annoying. She's very flawed. We've talked about this many, many times. He's less so. He's more likeable as a character. And I think when you like them, you forgive them more, don't you?
Yeah, of course you do.
Anything they've done. And also what he's done is he's very, I don't know whether insidious is the right word, that might be too harsh, but it's not as obvious what he's doing. You have to look for it. It's more of a coercive kind of...
Ooh, that's a strong word.
Mm. I know, but it is more coercive than what... She's downright lied and, you know what I mean, manipulated him. Mm. But he's more manipulating her on an emotional level. I think it's harder to see that sometimes, isn't it?
Yeah.
Julie on Facebook says, get Goody Two Shoes Harper out of your business. So
she's all up in your grill. Yeah,
she is a bit, isn't she? So that was Facebook, but what did Twitter think? Because you also put a poll on Twitter this week, didn't you? You said, okay, listen guys, you're in the writer's room, do you put these two back together again?
Yeah,
so you had two options, in a heartbeat, which got 54%.
Oh god,
I know. And then that's enough, you big Yahoo, got 46%. And can I just say, just to quantify this, we got 57 votes on this, which is more than we get likes and retweets and stuff. So there's a lot of people lurking on the hashtag that are voting on this poll that are not getting involved. So you guys get involved on the hashtag and, you know, get talking, because we know there's at least 57 people out there that have seen this poll. And have an opinion. We want to hear your actual opinions.
Come say
on this.
Good day. Yeah.
Yeah. We want to hear you. So don't be shy. Come and talk to us. So I thought that was interesting because it's not 50-50 split, but it's not far off, is it, really?
Yeah. Do you know what? This explains why we've been talking about it endlessly for 2 months. So, because how split is this?
Yeah, exactly.
Interested in that.
It's not close enough to call it, is it? Because whatever happens, you're going to disappoint half the audience at this point.
It's basically Brexit, this. 52-48, was it?
Tenacity's Brexit round two. Yeah, who would have thought?
We're going to argue for the next 10 years about this.
Oh, God. Oh, were you a Tenacity fan, were you? Yeah, well, that explains everything.
You bloody Tory.
Oh, you just know it. Mm-hmm. So we did. Mm-hmm. So obviously we had the poll, but we did have some comments as well on Twitter. So Just Jen says, absolutely not for either of their sakes. I'd find a woman who wants to be a broodmare for Tane and a dude or woman for Flick who can match her energy. Mm-hmm. So yeah, Tane wants a baby mama, and Flick needs somebody that's more on her energy level, I think. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
Mr. David says they both need to stay single for a while. Look at Maz, Irene and John and Rue. They're single, happy and sorted, right? I don't know whether there's a little bit of sarcasm in that tweet. Because are they happy and single and sorted? I don't know. I think David's got a point though. I think they do need to be, especially Flick, I think she just needs to be on her own for a bit and just...
Well, she doesn't want to be, that's the thing.
No, so, I know, but sometimes you have to do something.
You don't know what's good for you, do you? Yeah.
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 Yeah. Don't know. I don't think that's going to happen, but I don't think
ending up a middle-aged old spinster's not very appealing either. So.
I don't think she's going to be single forever. I don't think that's what he's saying, but I think you don't have to be in a relationship to be happy, and I think sometimes you have to not be in a relationship to find out what it is you want out of life. And then you go, right, now I know what I want. I'm not going to put up with what I had before. Or I don't know, you just get that clarification on. If you're if you're not happy by yourself, you're not going to be happy with someone else, are you? So
yeah, that is true. Love thyself.
Yeah. I've got to sound like a meme.
Live, laugh, laugh, God. I tell you, she might just be single forever though if she keeps wearing those cowgirl boots.
What song was she dancing to on that balcony as well? Because it wasn't the one that Remy was playing.
No, maybe there was like a rise. Maybe we got a different song laid over the top. Who knows?
Who knows? Who knows? Katie on Twitter says, I think you know who I'd put Tane with. We do, Katie. And it's the turn of the Mac.
Yes. Yeah. Hot stuff. The one that got away. Yeah.
Yeah. We agree, don't we? We quite like to see that pairing. Mm-hmm. I don't know whether I'd see Mac with a baby, though, which is ultimately what Tane wants. I can't see them as a family. I don't know why.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. I'm just here for the stopping quickie.
I want the flinging. Yeah.
Yeah.
Although he called her family this week, didn't he? He said Mac's family. So maybe that's a friend zone now.
Yeah. Yeah. Oh, God. Yeah. Well, anyway, Mac's got eyes for Dr. Evil.
Yeah. And then we've got a very random comment on Twitter that I'll read out and you might have opinions on. So someone called Theophilus Thistler or Roger Explosion by the handle says, I'd deport him. So you said, what would you do with these two? And yeah, this person wants to deport Tane back to New Zealand.
Okay.
That's quite harsh.
Yeah, harsh is reaction. It's not xenophobic, no.
It's pretty horrible. I think it's tongue-in-cheek, isn't it? I hope it's tongue-in-cheek, I don't think it's a real oh god, I hope not. but it's a very extreme reaction to
it. Is
I mean
it is
it's interesting though, because it's anti-Tane, not anti-Flick, you know what I mean?
Well,
it's an interesting comment.
We don't come across much Teflon. Tane seems to dodge most of it, so I guess yeah, that's true. But it does stick out. Hold me in your arms, don't let me go, I want to stay forever closer.